Gotta find what, Coble? Senator.
Mr. President, I move that further proceedings under roll call be dispensed with and the sergeant at arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Today's chaplain is our own Senator Coble.
Shall we pray? Creator, Redeemer, and indwelling Spirit, most of us, Lord, have run for a seat in this august body because we felt we could contribute to making a significant difference in our lives together here. We all seek relief from the sometimes humdrum nature of everyday living. But even here, Lord, some days are less than exciting. Yet don't the exciting things in life tend to come not from an external source, but from an internal one? Is happiness a learned characteristic that comes from following the leading of your indwelling presence? It's true, isn't it, Lord? A life of meaning doesn't just happen. It's consciously or unconsciously chosen. Could it be that successful living is neither more nor less than finding some practical solutions to common problems? But making decisions can be an awesome task, Lord. We go round and around within our own minds, not knowing which factors to give the greater weight. Sometimes reason competes with instinct and matters seem to worsen. What would happen, Lord, if we placed our decisions in your hands? What if a decision surrendered to you was a decision surrendered to the highest intelligence, wisdom, and love? We aren't taught to believe we can do that, God, and so we remain locked in to making decisions for a future we can only guess at. We stand at a crossroads, not knowing which way to go, and yet we are expected to make decisions about what might be the best route to take that could change the rest of our lives together. But you, O God, in great mercy and love, have sent a fragment of your own Spirit to live within us. This Spirit gift you have given us has come with your power to deliver us from fear to love. Even though we live in linear time that does not know the future, the gift of your Spirit dwells in Kairos time, where past, present, and future are in eternal now. So help us this day, O Lord, to place our lives and our future in your hands, that we might more effectively live out this life you have given us, not only in happiness, but in the joy of your eternal presence. In your strong name, amen.
Thank you, Senator. Nice. I did. Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzel, Bonhoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Day, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fischbach, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Kimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Koch, Coring, Coble, Langseth, Larson, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Neville, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, Parisot, Pogemiller, Pretner Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vandeveer, Vickerman, Worgen, and Weger. Quorum is present.
Quorum is present. First order of business is reports. Reports of committees. Senator Pogemiller, reports of committees.
Mr. President, I move that committee reports printed in today's agenda be adopted with the exception of the reports pertaining to appointments.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Mr. President, I move that the report pertaining to appointments be laid on the table.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Now the next order of business will be second reading of Senate bills. There's one printed on today's agenda without objection, second reading of Senate bills. Next order of business is second reading of House bills. There's one on today's agenda, printed on today's agenda without objection. Second reading of House bills. There are about four authors' motions without objection. We'll take those as one motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Cohn in the... Okay, we'll remain under motions for a while. I'll do that in a second. Next order of business is... under motions and resolutions. There are a number of resolutions introduced. They will be referred to the Rules Committee. Next, we'll go to introduction of Senate bills. There's one change. Senate File 2221 will be sent to the Judiciary Committee without objection. First reading of Senate bills. Did you wish, Senator Pogemiller, you're to
Mr. President, I would move that we take up the Senate confirmation calendar, three or four of those.
Okay. On the motion to take up the confirmation calendar, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. President, first I'd like to move... No, I want to talk to Senator first about that. So, Mr. President, we'd like to take up the Board on Animal Health, the Minnesota Rural Finance Authority, the Commissioner of Revenue, and the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board. So I would yield to Senator Vickerman.
Senator Vickerman, the confirmation of the Board of Animal Health. Senator Vickerman.
He's got motions there.
Okay. Senator, do you have some motions there to make?
Mr. President, I move the report on the Committee on Agriculture and Veterans. Do you want me to take them down the way I have them here? Or?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Pertain to appointment or deception of the appointment pertaining to the Department of Veterans Affairs be taken from the table.
On the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Vickerman.
Mr. President, I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Vickerman.
And Mr. President, I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Agriculture and Veterans reported January 25, 2007, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of the Board of Animal Health. Mr. President, do you want me to take all these in one motion?
Do we take that?
Mr. President, I'd just take the Board of Animal Health, those four.
We'll take them one at a time, the Board of Animal Health.
Okay. Mr. President, then the first one is Masha Kumar, 634 Genesis Drive, St. Cloud, Stearns County, effective February 24, 2006, for a term expiring on January 4, 2010. That's the one from the Board of Animal Health. And Mr. President, I think I'll take them. The other ones are under the Rural Health, so let's do the Board of Animal Health first. That's the only one I have on my list.
Mr. President,
Senator,
wouldn't we have to vote on the first one before we go on to the other ones?
That's correct. We're going to take the Board of Animal Health. Did you wish to talk about, you don't have to, Comer, any remarks about what I do? Any further discussion?
Oh, yes. He's come before our committee, and he's very well qualified and would be an excellent member of the Board of Animal Health.
All right. Discussion? All those in favor? Signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Now does he have...
Then, Mr. President, I will take up the Minnesota Rural Finance Authority.
Okay, that's fine. You've got some motions to make.
This is Hegedall, 71521 240th Avenue, Hayfield, Dodge County, effective July 6, 2006, for a term expiring on January 4, 2010. Gary Polasek, 6th Avenue Southwest, Winnebago, Fairmont County, effective July 6th for a term expiring on January 4th, 2010. Howard Swenson, St. Nicholas County, effective May 31st, 2005 for a term expiring on January 5th, 2009. And William Thine, 321 Stevens Avenue, Ortonville, Big Stone County, effective May 31st, 2005 for a term expiring on January 5th, 2009. All these people that come before our committee, everyone testified, and they had a unanimous support in our committee.
Any discussion on the confirmation of the members of the Minnesota Rural Finance Authority? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I would move that the part of the committee report on Minnesota Veterans Board of Directors be re-referred to the Committee on Agriculture and Veterans for just a second look.
Okay. On the Pogemiller motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. We've got Senator Bach, do you have a confirmation?
Mr. President, I move that the report from the Committee on Taxes, reported February 19, 2000...
Senator Bach, apparently, were... I thought he just made that.
Mr. President?
Apparently, there's another motion, Senator Bach, before you. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that the part of the report regards the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs be laid on the table.
Okay, on that motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Okay, the next confirmation will be from the Senator Bach on the Committee on Taxes. Senator Bach.
Mr. President, I move that the report from the Committee on Taxes, report dated February 19, 2007, pertaining to appointments, be taken from the table.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Bach.
Mr. President, I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Bach.
Mr. President, I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Taxes, reported February 19, 2007, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent and confirm to the appointment of Ward L. Ines to the Commissioner of the Department of Revenue.
Senator Bach.
Mr. President, members, many of you here in the body know the Acting Commissioner Ward Ines. Prior to being recommended to be the Commissioner of Revenue, he was the Acting Commissioner at Deed. Previous to that, the Deputy Commissioner at Deed. He's been a senior policy advisor for the governor here at the Capitol, and for many years a legislative assistant here in the Republican caucus. Members, we had Commissioner Ines into the Tax Committee, and you know, his background is probably not as strong as somebody we might think of as a Commissioner of Revenue, but I think all of us here know that Ward Ines is a fine individual, and he's got a very good staff at the Department of Revenue that he's very supportive of, and I and the members of the Tax Committee believe he'll make a good commissioner, and we'd appreciate your support.
Senator Bach renews his motion for the confirmation of Ward Ines. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The next confirmation this morning be Senator Rest, the Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight, Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board. Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the report from the Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight, reported March 5th, 2007, pertaining to appointments, be taken from the table.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Est.
Mr. President, I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Est.
Mr. President, I move that in accordance with a report from the Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight, reported March 5, 2007, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of Terry R. Ashmore and Robert Milbert to the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board. Terry Ashmore was first appointed to the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board in 2003 and was reappointed by the governor to an unrestricted position on the board. Ashmore lives in St. Paul and is the managing director of the Basilica of St. Mary in Minneapolis. Bob Milbert served as a member of the Minnesota House of Representatives from 1987 to 2003. He is currently CEO of Milbert Company and Culligan Water Dealership. He was first appointed to the board in 2003.
Mr. President.
Discussion, Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, would Senator Rest yield to a question?
Senator Rest will yield. Senator Pogemiller.
Senator Rest, was there any testimony or discussion in the committee regarding... Well, first let me ask this question. Do I understand correctly that all of these appointments are gubernatorial appointments to the Public Disclosure Board, Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board?
Senator Rest.
Mr. President, yes, that is the case. The governor appoints all of the appointments. Some of them are must come from... one of the major parties or the other. Some of them are unrestricted.
Senator Pogemiller.
Senator Rest, did the committee hear any discussion or testimony related to a concern by some that the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board has shown some signs of partisanship recently?
Senator Rest.
Mr. President, we had no testimony regarding partisanship or recent activity in that regard by the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I just wanted to put on the record that I have been approached by various parties with a concern that the board needs to be more cognizant of the fact that they are meant to be nonpartisan. And just let me leave it at that. There has been some issues raised. I've had calls. And I think it's in all of our interest that this board stay nonpartisan. And so I just wanted to put that on the record. And the board needs to be careful.
Further discussion on the confirmation of the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board members? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
That's all. Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
I would move that the Senate now take up, I move that the Senate do now resolve itself into a committee of the whole for the purposes of taking up the general orders calendar.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. President.
The committee shall be in order.
Mr. Chairman, same as yesterday, we'd like to try to be done by about noon if we could. And let's start with number 79 on general orders, House File 1004, Senator Higgins, and then follow up with number 7, a Neville bill, number 8, a Sparks bill, and number 10, Uyghur, and number 12, Bedsold. But we'll try to finish by noon if we can.
Okay,
so I would yield to Senator Higgins, number 79.
Senator Higgins, Senate file we have before us, number 79 on general orders. Senate file 1004, Senator Higgins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that when this committee do arise, House file 1004 be recommended to pass.
Yeah, it's before us. Discuss the bill.
Okay. And, Mr. President, I have another motion I move that the amendment made to House File 1004 by the Rules Committee in the report adopted March 31st, 2007, pursuant to Rule 45, be stricken. Mr. President and members, this is the rule that would have put the Senate language on the House bill, and I would like to take up the House language. It is almost identical, but the House language represents the exact...
You're putting the House language back before
I want to put the House language back on the Senate bill, back in place.
Senator Betzel, did you...
Mr. Chairman and Senator Higgins, it does help us if you describe what the differences are so we know why the House language would be better before we vote on that motion.
I think
that's what I was
we're going
to
get the
starting
explanation
to do.
Now, Senator Betzel. I think she's going to explain it, the differences now.
Thank you,
Senator Higgins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The bills are nearly identical, but the House file language represents the exact language agreed to by all the interested parties, and it has one substantive change that is not in the Senate file, and that change is an exemption for the Farm Credit Services Organization. They are a cooperative lender funded by their federal by the federal government, making small loans in rural communities. Their loans sometimes provide for deferred interest, there has been a little concern that might be considered negative amortization, which is not, but this is putting an exemption in for them. The other changes are technical. So I renew my motion on the Rule 45.
Discussion on Senator Higgins' motion. Senator Scheid.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Higgins, I think we had some amendments to the bill in the Judiciary Committee. Did you just remove those, or did that conform to the House? I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me.
Okay. Mr. Chair, Senator Scheid, they are included in here.
She said they're included. Any further discussion on Senator Higgins' motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. Yeah, the bill is before us. And you're going to...
Okay. Can I tell you what it's all about now?
Yep.
Okay.
Please.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. This bill establishes some basic common sense standards to protect homeowners from unscrupulous and predatory mortgage lending practices. The bill has changed quite a bit from its original form, and it now represents an agreement among the Attorney General, advocates such as Legal Aid and ACORN, members of the banking community, and I'm proud to say the Minnesota Association of Mortgage Brokers. Members of the industry recognize that we've got a serious problem here in Minnesota and that something needs to be done to protect homeowners and preserve the integrity of their industry, so they support the bill. Enactment of this legislation, along with a second bill that we'll be hearing in the Judiciary Committee tomorrow night, will help stem the tide of foreclosures and help preserve home ownership and equity for Minnesota borrowers. It has several provisions. One that I believe you'll be very interested in is requiring that lenders verify the borrower's ability to repay. Too many borrowers are being misled into purchasing adjustable rate mortgages with low teaser rates that are only in effect for a short period of time. This bill requires lenders and mortgage brokers to make sure that the borrowers can afford the payment when the teaser rate expires. In Commerce Committee, I think it was, I showed a flyer that one of my constituents had gotten, and they talked about how it was a fixed rate mortgage at 2%. Well, when you read the 5-point type at the bottom of the last page, it was good for one entire month. Not a year, not 2 years, 1 month. We have a real problem here in Minnesota. This bill also requires that lenders and mortgage brokers verify a borrower's income and financial resources. It essentially eliminates the stated income loans, where a borrower can get a loan by simply stating their income without providing any proof. Another provision that is really important is establishing a duty of agency for mortgage brokers. A consumer seeks the help of a broker because the broker is the expert. The consumer naturally places trust in the broker to act in the consumer's best interest. This bill creates a duty of agency under which, among other things, brokers must act in the best interest of the borrowers. A third provision would count kickbacks from the lender to the broker as lender fees. A mortgage broker can receive a side payment from a lender, often forgetting the borrower to agree to a higher interest rate than the rate for which the borrower actually can qualify. The lender pays this compensation directly to the broker, but the borrower is the one who bears the ultimate cost because they're paying the higher interest rate on the loan that they've got. Under current law, lender fees exceeding 5% cannot be included in a mortgage loan. This proposal would ensure that payments from the lender to the broker are counted in that 5% cap. Another provision prohibits churning. Churning is repeated refinancing that does not benefit the borrower. A mortgage lender or a mortgage broker or lender cannot provide a loan to a borrower that refinances an existing loan unless the new loan provides a reasonable net tangible benefit to the borrower, considering all the circumstances. Another provision prohibits negative amortization. A substantial number of borrowers are being misled into believing that they're getting a loan with low interest-only payments, when in reality they're getting a loan with a payment that is based on a lower interest rate than they're actually being charged. And the result is that the borrower's monthly payments don't even begin to cover the interest that's accruing on their loan, and the principal balance is actually increasing every month. The bill also requires lenders to disclose when monthly payment quotes don't include taxes and insurance. If a borrower has a loan in which taxes and insurance payments are escrowed, and the lender is providing a monthly payment quote to show that the payments will be less than the existing loan, the lender must disclose whether the tax includes taxes in, or the quote includes taxes and insurance. It's just not right if you're comparing principal and interest to the existing loan's principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. That's the high points of the bill, Mr. Chair, and I'll stand for questions. Members, you have on your desks some interesting information that I'd like to draw your attention to. There is an editorial from the Star Tribune asking for your support in reining in these predatory lending practices. There also are a collection of maps that we've had pulled together for us. Two of the maps are Minneapolis foreclosure sales. The 2006 map is, as you can see, the district that I represent is the one that has all the foreclosure dots in it. There's another one that overlays the household income on those same dot patterns, and so you can see that the low-income neighborhoods are really being targeted by these predatory lending practices. The big map that is on your desk is foreclosures in Hennepin County in 2006, and I look at this one quite a bit. I have these maps all hanging on my desk door, or my office door, and if you'll look at Hennepin County, you'll see areas that have a lot of property wealth, and yet they're having a foreclosure problem as well. There is another chart on your desk that shows the six metro counties and their closure rates, and you will see that every one of them has spiked. So this isn't just an inner city problem. This is a Minnesota problem. I ask for your support.
Discussion, Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Higgins yield for a question?
She will yield, Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Higgins, in your opening comments, you made a remark that members of the banking industry are in favor of your bill. Could you tell me specifically what those groups are?
Senator Higgins.
It's a lot of paper on my desk. Mr. Chair, Senator Limmer, the Minnesota... Oh, the bankers. I have here the Minnesota Association of Mortgage Brokers and the Minnesota Bankers Association. And the independent community bankers and the credit unions.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. The concern I've always had is quite often we hear Minnesota Bankers Association and we kind of think that they represent all of the banking interests in the state of Minnesota, which you and I know that that's not true. They represent banks, but they don't always represent mortgage bankers or the specifically the lenders that are not banks, but they are mortgage companies. And I just wanted to make sure, for the purposes of my vote today, that those that are recognizing this bill and giving their endorsement, that these are the very people that specifically their only business is to write home mortgages. So Minnesota Mortgage Bankers, as you stated, have endorsed your bill. And are there mortgage brokers? Do they have a separate association as well? And have they endorsed your bill as well?
Mr. Chair, Senator Limmer, yes, the Minnesota Association of Mortgage Brokers have worked with us very closely on this bill. This is their industry, and they have seen that they have huge problems in their industry with some bad actors. And so they are now, as the result of the amendment that we put back on, they are supporting this bill too.
Thank you.
Further discussion on Senate File 1004. Senator Scheid.
Thank you, Mr. President, or Mr. Chairman. Senator Higgins deserves a big congratulations for the work that she put in on this bill. And my Commerce Committee does as well. I think we put in 5 hours on this subject one evening a few weeks ago. And Senator Higgins worked very thoughtfully and with all of those interested parties and people who are affected by this. And I want to thank her for doing that and congratulate her on a really good piece of legislation.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also want to congratulate Senator Higgins and the Attorney General and all the advocates and the banking community that worked on this. It's been a long struggle to enact predatory lending legislation, and it finally got to the point where we have so many mortgage foreclosures that the problem can't be ignored by the industry. And I'm glad that they've finally agreed to support this legislation. Parts of my city, we even call it the Arc of Hardship. In 2005, we had 900 vacant homes in St. Paul's Frogtown, the North End, Payne Phelan, and Dayton's Bluff neighborhoods. Each vacant home cost the city government alone over $5,000 in reduced taxes, unpaid service fees, and maintenance costs. But it also cost the mortgage industry, each foreclosure, around $59,000, including cost to resell the home. So who ends up paying for all these costs? We end up in the form of property taxes, and the mortgage industry passes these costs on to the rest of us who take out mortgages. So it's really, really important that we clean up this industry, and once again, I applaud Senator Higgins for doing so.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Higgins, I had one other question that came to mind. Is this the bill that's going to handle subprime mortgages and affect the qualifying standards for subprime, or is that another bill? I know there's three bills, I think, floating through here.
Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, Senator Limmer, I think all three bills apply to kind of all mortgages, and we deal with... subprimes in here, we deal with refis, we deal with, and I think Senator Scheid's bill, which is the agency bill, deals with subprimes and as well as other mortgages, and then my other bill does as well. It's kind of the whole industry.
Mr. President.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. It does get confusing when you have three separate bills going through and trying to parse out which one is which. But the one concern I have, and I'm familiar with the real estate industry and the mortgage industry, is that there is a need for subprime loans. Some people need those. Another term is stated mortgages, where you rely on the creditworthiness represented in a credit report of a buyer. and not so much what earnings they make, but on the quality and the history of their payment history on their credit reports. Now, I do believe, as I've studied this in recent months, the subprime industry failed to really require specific details of whether the person even had a job or not. And so this particular bill before us would recognize that they have, the mortgage bankers have to go just a little bit further in qualifying at least some of these basic elements to whoever would apply for a home loan, that certain basic elements would have to be confirmed. Is that correct in your bill?
Mr. Chair, Senator Lemon, that's exactly right. If I could draw your attention to the language starting on 4.2 and going down to 4.16. We are, in effect, getting rid of the no-doc loans, the stated income loans. The New York Times called them liar loans a couple weeks ago. It's just a little too easy now for people to say what their income is and having no proof of it. And so in here, we say that the mortgage originator, well, let me just read it. Nothing in this section shall be construed to limit a mortgage originator or exempt person's ability to rely on criteria other than the income and financial resources to establish their reasonable ability to pay. However, such criteria must be verified through reasonably reliable methods and documentation. A statement by the borrower of the borrower's income and resources is not sufficient to establish the existence of the income.
It's Senator Lemmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Higgins, I think you're going in the right direction on this bill. I know you came quite a distance from where you started. Sometimes we kind of forget about the open free market out there. The free market has also recognized the problem with foreclosures. And if this bill had not passed, their interest rate for stated loans, like what we're talking about, is now as high as 8.5%, whereas the regular, fully qualified, full doc loan that represents kind of an older product out there, a very safe product, but sometimes not real flexible to recognize people's needs, are being offered for 6.25 to 6.5. So the risk that that banker is going to assume by giving a loan out just based on stated income and a good credit report can sometimes now today be as high as 2% over the ongoing market. So that certainly would cause a lot of people second thoughts of whether or not they should take out a loan at such a high rate. But nevertheless, that won't change. The risk is still there. All mortgages represent a yield, and the yield represents the risk involved for the banker. But nevertheless, I think you're going in the right direction on making sure that this goes into effect with these basic elements being addressed. The one last question I had, Senator Higgins, is when does this bill go into effect? I looked for an effective date, and as you know, mortgage bank processing sometimes takes months to acquire, and I would hate to get someone caught in the middle of, they've already made terms accepted on a purchase agreement to buy a house. They're waiting 3 months down the road, maybe as long as 6 months based on a mortgage application. And the question I have is, are we going to change those in-process mortgages? Are we going to change the canoe in the middle of the stream for those folks? And some of these people, if we do it too fast, may be out any opportunity to buy that house that they've already committed on a purchase agreement. So if I could just ask, what's your effective date when this goes into effect?
Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, Senator Lemmer, it is the default effective date of August 1st. If it's not stated in the bill, we have a default effective date. Mr. Chair, is that correct? And that is August 1st, right?
That's August.
Mr. Chair?
I think it's August would be August 1st, and the Senate Counsel, I believe, in the back row is nodding affirmatively. So that'd be the date.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, Senator Higgins, I might want you to maybe reconsider an effective date to August 30th. And the reason I ask is that most real estate transactions that are made usually occur at the end of the month. If you talk to any title company, they're backed up at that last week. And the reason why is that the seller doesn't want to pay. They want to take care of their interest and their principal. We try to put our purchases toward the end of the month. So essentially, for most people, this is going to go into effect the month back. And it gives 1 month earlier. And I'm not going to bring an amendment, but in conference committee, I'm sure you'll have a few discussions regarding that. Well, we're on a house file, so if we pass this with no amendments, this is done. Well, we want to make sure we go into this situation with eyes wide open. We're not really giving ourselves a month. It's really for the processing time allowed. It goes from September back in time. Maybe that's enough in this case.
Yeah, there would be 3.5 months from today, I would think, Senator Higgins.
That's exactly what I was just going to say, Mr. Chair.
Any further, Senator Betzel?
Mr. President, Mr. Chairman, I should make a note. Senator Limmer referred to a conference committee. By adopting the House language on this bill, if it passes the way it is right now, there is no conference committee because the House and the Senate bills are identical, and it would go to the governor. There would not be a conference committee.
Senator Limmer, I believe, understood that.
Mr. President or Mr. Chairman, Senator Betzold, I corrected myself in midstream, and I discovered that it was a House file that we were dealing with. And I think that after our discussion, the effective date would be enough to take care of almost 95% of those in process that are seeking mortgage application.
Any further discussion on House File, 1004?
Mr. Chair?
Senator Wicker, excuse me.
Yes, Mr.
Senator
Chair, Wicker. I'd like to commend Senator Higgins and others, the Attorney General Swanson. We see the high concentration in central cities, but this is throughout the state as well. I've had constituents whose American dream became a nightmare through predatory lending. This is landmark legislation. Let's all support it. Thank you.
Okay, further discussion. The question occurs on the motion of Senator Higgins that House File 1004 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The next bill on general orders will be number 7. Senate File 221, Senator Neville.
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 221 be recommended to pass.
Senator Neville, on the bill.
Mr. President, members, this is a very simple bill, very short. It deals with access to employee personnel records. And what this bill would do is require that any employer with 20 or more employees provide written notice to any job applicants upon hire of their right to get access to their personnel records to make corrections if there are disputes, and then resolve disputes with the employer with respect to what's in their personnel file. Now this bill as it sits here today also requires a posting requirement, and I'd like to offer an amendment to deal with that, the A50 amendment.
Secretary will report the Neville A50 amendment.
Senator Neville moves to amend Senate File 221 as follows. Page 1, line 7. This is the A50 amendment.
Senator Neville on the amendment.
Mr. Chair and members, what this amendment does is delete the requirement for posting, but then add a requirement that the employer also has to give the employee written notice of their rights upon termination of employment. So the employee will get notice of their rights to see their personnel record at the time they're hired and at the time that their termination is discharged. There was some concern by some business groups about what would happen if people just didn't, if they didn't know negligently or otherwise that they didn't post it. And I think the real purpose of this bill is to make sure that the employees are aware of their right to see the personnel file and to contest parts of it. And the best way to accomplish that is to give them written notice, both when they're hired and when they're discharged. So I'd ask support for the amendment.
Discussion on the amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Further discussion on the bill.
That's all I have, Mr. Chair, and if there's questions, I'll be happy to answer.
Discussion on the bill. Seeing none, the question occurs on the Neville motion that Senate File 221 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The next bill on general orders will be number 8, Senate File 1495, Senator Sparks.
Mr. Chair, I move that when the committee do arise, Senate File 1495 be recommended to pass.
Senator Sparks on the bill.
Mr. Chair, this is already existing law. In 2005, we passed this legislation that allows employers to pay their employees who voluntarily choose this option by electric fund transfer into the employee's payroll card account. The employee can then access their account through the payroll card. It's a program that has worked. We had a sunset on it. And, Mr. Chair, I do have an amendment, the A-50 amendment.
Secretary will report the Sparks A-50 amendment.
Senator Sparks moves to amend Senate File 1495 as follows. Delete everything after the enacting clause and insert. This is the A-50 amendment.
Senator Sparks on the amendment.
Mr. Chair, in your committee, we made some minor changes. This is, like I said, a program that's worked good. It's been model legislation that's been used around the country. However, the stakeholders came together, the AFL-CIO, the legal aid, and the bankers, and what they would like to do is just to extend the sunset one more year out to May 31st of 2008, and then if we have to, we can come back next year and make any additional changes.
Discussion on the amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Further discussion on the bill. Seeing none, the question occurs on the motion by Senator Sparks that Senate File 1495 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Now the next bill on general orders this morning will be number 10, Senate File 380, Senator Wieger. Senator Wieger.
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 380 be recommended to pass.
Senator Wieger on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate File 380 addresses election law changes primarily for school boards. This is an initiative by the Minnesota School Boards Association. Highlights in Section 1, it would eliminate the requirement that a county, municipality, or school district get the approval of the county auditor before conducting an election by mail. There is no opposition expressed on this provision by the Secretary of State or by the Association for County Officials that we're aware of. Second, Section 2 permits the school board to decide whether to hold a primary election. The decision must be made before June 1st. If a school district decides to hold a primary, but no more than two candidates file for each position, no primary need be held. You may recall a few years ago, this provision was added to law, and the school board is asking for the change now so that it would be up to the school board to decide if there's a primary. The experience has been that it's very expensive and very few people are eliminated in the elections that have been held. And so a local control issue, I know some express interest and concern that we not change this requirement, but we have further data just showing through the School Boards Association that it is very costly and they'd like to make that decision. It does not get rid of the requirement, it just gives them the option. Section 3 states that if the school district does hold a primary, affidavits of candidacy must be filed in early July. If a school district has decided not to hold a primary, even if there are more than two candidates for a position, affidavits of candidacy need not be filed until early September. And Section 4 confirms that the school board's authority to use electronic voting systems in elections held not in conjunction with the statewide election is affirmed. And stand for any questions.
Further questions? Further discussion on Senate File 380, Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. President. We've debated this one pretty well a couple of weeks ago. I'm not going to get into that degree, but I would stand in opposition to the bill. I am concerned about Section 2 and Section 3. I don't think that in its public interest, for instance, that a couple of things. First of all, I think a school board member, in my view, would stand in conflict making that kind of a vote that would decide whether or not there is going to be a primary or not, especially, of course, if that school board member himself or herself was a candidate. I'm not sure that's good public policy. And then beyond that, if you had the race, it's conceivable that maybe you have 10 candidates and somebody wins with 15%. I'm not sure. It seems to me that an individual holding public office ought to win by majority vote, and that's, of course, what the primary gives us. So there are my arguments, and I would urge a no vote.
Further discussion on Senate File 380. Seeing none, the question occurs on the motion of Senator Wieger that Senate File 380 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? 4-3. The motion prevails. Last bill, we're going to general orders this morning. Be number 12, Senate File 248, Senator Betzel.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 248 be recommended to pass.
Senator Betzel. On the bill.
Mr. Chairman and members, this is a bill that was brought to me by our former colleague, Senator Wes Skoglund, and he encountered a situation that none of us have encountered, but we could. He was in the process of closing down his campaign account. He realized that he's not going to run for public office again, and he wanted the opportunity to contribute some funds to some libraries, school libraries within his district area. However, he's not allowed to do that because there's a limitation within the campaign laws of 211B.12 that limits how much you can contribute to a charity to $50. Now, there's a reason why we have a cap in law because, frankly, we do not want to have every charity contacting our campaigns and expecting that we're going to be able to fund their charities, so I believe that that's why we have a cap in there. However, once you've reached the point where you're not going to be using the money for campaign purposes anymore, you're actually dissolving the campaign committee, he believed that you should be able to transfer it to a charity. So this would only be applying to those situations where a committee is dissolving with 1 year, and they would be able to exceed the limit. Now, I believe Senator Limmer does have an amendment to the bill, and I would yield to Senator Limmer.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to introduce the A1 amendment.
Secretary will report the Limmer A1 amendment.
Senator Limmer moves to amend Senate File 248 as follows, page 1, line 17. This is the A-1 amendment.
Senator Limmer on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Betzold and members, while we're visiting this area of law, I couldn't help but look at the section of law that authorizes our existing campaign organizations to give allowable up to $50 donation per year to any charity that we wish. It's been a long time since we've visited this area of law. I think it's over 12, maybe even 14 years since we've introduced the $50 increment, and I think it might be time to revisit that dollar amount, giving us an allowable range up to $100 that we could give to a charity per year. I've passed this off to Senator Betzold before the discussion today, and I think it's just time that we It's a very simple amendment, but it's something that I think we can do with very little debate.
Senator Betzel on the amendment.
And Mr. Chairman, I indicated, Senator Lerner, I personally do not have a problem with the amendment. I'll let the members decide if how they feel about it. I believe that this would only apply to active campaign committees, so there would still be a limit so that, I mean, I like to contribute to charity too, but I don't think that every charity should be expecting that our campaign funds should have to be paying over and over for every charity in our area. So there probably should be a limit for the active funds, and as opposed to the underlying bill, which would allow you an unlimited amount if you're dissolving your committee. So as I say, I don't have any problem with the A1 amendment. I'll let the members decide how they feel about that.
Further discussion on the Limmer A1 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Further discussion on the bill. Senator Betzel.
I stand for any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion on the bill. Seeing none, the question occurs on the motion of Senator Betzel that Senate File 248 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Betzel.
I move that the committee do now rise and report.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The Senate will be in order.
Mr. President, I move the report of the committee of the whole as kept by the secretary be now adopted.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Remaining on motions, Senator Cohn, I want to make a motion to...
Mr. President, move that Senate File 265 be withdrawn from the Committee on Capital Investment and re-referred to the Committee on Finance.
On the Senator Cohn's motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Can somebody else? And we have Senator Berglund has a motion to make. Senator Berglund.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate File 356, number 70 on general orders, be stricken and re-referred to the Committee on Finance.
This is your bill?
Yes, and we've heard that it has a fiscal note coming on it that we didn't know about.
On the Berglund motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. We're waiting for something to come up to the desk that Senator Cohn's going to make a motion on. But maybe before that, if it's all right, Senator Pogler-Miller, we'll go right to announcements and get the announcements out of the way. without objection, Senator Ortman will be excused from today's session. Senator Saltzman, did you have an announcement?
I do, Mr. President. Business, industry, and jobs is going to meet at 12:30 today. We have a very full agenda. We have 11 to 12 bills. So I'm looking forward to seeing all of you in our room at 12:30. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Chaudhry. Senator Chaudhry.
Thanks, Mr. President. Environment and Natural Resources will meet at 12:45. Give people a chance to get some lunch.
Senator Marty.
Mr. President, the Senate Health, Housing, and Family Security meeting will begin at 12:35, halfway between the other two meetings.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, I'd move recess to the call of the chair, and all we're going to do is accept that committee report so members can feel free to go to lunch.
It's a motion to transfer the bill, so...
Okay, so I move a recess to the call of the chair. And then, Senator Senjum, we'll take that motion, and then we'll just adjourn. So, recess to the call of the chair. A few of us will wait around to get the motion, and then we'll... Senator Cohen, what is the motion? Are we in recess? Mr. President, I move recess to the call of the chair, and members can feel free to go to lunch.
All in favor, signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senate's in recess.